Thank you. Two wonderful sessions, and I think pretty congruent with what I'm going to try and present to you as well. Comparison of print and media health advertising to boys and men compared to women and girls. And I did this with one of my students when I was teaching at Belmont University, where Brad Paisley went to school, by the way. And another individual, Karen Zinka, who does a lot of work with the Men's Health Network. Nothing to disclose, except it's a small study, because it was pretty much self-funded. And I put that up there to make the point, it's very hard to get research monies to do work in men's health. We've tried very diligently, but it's very hard to do it. So we're going to talk about advertising. And prepping throughout the presentation, there are going to be some interesting ads, or ads that I found interesting, that make the point that the overall gestalt of advertising has a profound impact on how boys and men view their roles, excuse me, and view their identity as individuals who should engage in their own health. We'll set the stage a little bit, talk about health advertising of force in public health, study the environment that we did the study in, what we did for the study, talk about some what my colleagues and I felt were the implications of the study, and some additional questions that need to be looked at, and then I think give a call to action, because after all of this opining, we really need to do something. So setting the stage, I think my colleagues have made this point a couple of times. You've seen the statistics. The way I like to frame it here is the comment I sometimes get is, why do we need advocacy for men and health? Because the guys have it all. Yeah, we do have a lot of stuff, but it's not necessarily in the health domain good stuff. And if you look at how health politics goes, if most of the Congress is men, why aren't they advocating for the health of men? I don't understand. So anyway, I do think we have a problem. How are we going to get to resolve it? I think it is advocacy and socially responsible advertising in context of health that will go a long way. We all recognize that the media is not just a mirror on society, but it also is a molder of the cultural norms that we all believe. And when you look at media, when you see and are subjected to certain types and forms of advertising over a lifetime, over a couple of generations, it really has a profound effect on what you believe is the appropriate thing for you to be purchasing, the appropriate thing for you to be doing, the appropriate position that you have within the family or social structure. A couple of years ago, now, there was a wonderful editorial that I think refreshed in our own recollection, the American Journal of Public Health, that it's by the use of sound advertising, including display advertising, that we can make our successes marketed as those enjoyed by well-conducted commercial enterprises. We all know the power of powerful advertising that we see, and much of it is subliminal. We need to not only harness that in the context of overt public health advertising, as has been done, and has been extremely important in conquering and managing some very difficult disease conditions, but also harness those in the general media. Some have said, well, you know, we don't need any more advertising, Sal. We've got too much advertising already. But what I'm saying is we're not going to stop advertising, but what's advocated for it being a little bit more socially helpful to men and their view of healthcare. These are some ads that I picked out. Definitely a skewed sample, but I think you get the flavor for what I'm trying to conceptualize. We have a well-known sports figure eating a hot dog and getting a 50-cent off coupon, and then we have some different kinds of ads about prunes being muscular and manly-like, and we have some other imagery that I think speaks to the view that women are engaged more in their health and not so much the guys. Health advertising has been around for a long time. I was surprised when I found the statistics, and we workshopped it a little bit in my classes, and certainly everybody from the Egyptians to alchemists to mail order catalogs at Sears, and now we're bombarded by newspaper, radio, TV, and very importantly and subtly, the internet. The amount of advertising and subtle messages in the internet is hugely profound on young men and young women. There was a time when prescription advertising was secretive, but now that's changed. I remember as a young pharmacy student going back looking to get the physician's desk reference, which we now call the PDR, and I wasn't allowed to have it because there wasn't a doctor. Oh, stop. So now it's completely different. Prescription drug advertising is here, no matter what you think. It's here to stay, but I do think it needs to be balanced and it needs to be directed equally to the health needs of men and to women. The bottom line here is that there is a predilection. I think we all appreciate that, that boys and men ignore their health. Health advertising, the way it's conducted now, reinforces that predilection. And the weight of direction in advertising to men really moves it in a certain direction. As well, I believe that the amount of advertising that goes to women and directs the self-image of women and their role as caregivers and in selecting health products and services also weighs and sets up an expectation on the parts of young boys. Advertising industry knows this. They, I think, have a self-fulfilling prophecy that men make most of the purchasing decisions in healthcare and most of the healthcare decisions, and then they advertise them, and that fulfills that prophecy. So I think a lot of the behaviors that we see in health product selection or health engagement come because of the way we advertise to girls and women and boys and men. So the genesis of the study was working through the issues on health, advertising, promotion, and in perceptions of health with one of my classes. And the link that the students were trying to persuade me, which they did obviously, was that we need a link social activism in commercial messaging to engage ad power to bring men to a place where they feel it's socially acceptable to engage in health. So we did a little study. We looked at a comparative ad density of advertising in popular trade, print media, and general media for health products related to how it was advertised or the positioning for men and boys in comparison to women and girls. We created a sample size, which was, because of our funding limitations, a sample size of convenience. We asked family members and friends to send us magazines, general purpose, general magazines that they would read at home, and we were able to collect a sample of 212 magazines from them. We excluded single source type magazines, such as a light cooking magazine or how to repair, you know, your house magazine, and then we had 198 magazines available that were general reference magazines. We further categorized these general magazine, this 198 magazine sample, into these genres: general information and popular culture, news and current events like U.S. News and World Report, health, such as Prevention Magazine, Men's Health, sports and hobbies, bicycling, running, whatever, and then all other magazines such as Good Housekeeping, Women's Day, Modern Maturity, et cetera, et cetera. From this sample, we also further stratified the magazines based on the taxonomy of magazine types in the trade press. We use that as our benchmark, and then we found that we had approximately 16% male-targeted magazines, 55% female-targeted magazines, and 28% neutral-targeted magazines. And that actually agrees very well with the universe of, when you look at the totality of general-purpose magazines in the trade press, what you would be exposed to as a general trade category for magazines. So at least our universe from this sample of convenience was congruent. We then developed standardized criteria for advertisement analysis. So this was a good exercise for my students and refresh my recollection of certain things that I learned in a former life. And we looked at product type, images used, dominant and secondary images used within the advertising. We looked at text, font, style, and characteristics, coloration, highlights, key text, messages, extremely important, sexual innuendo, rhetorical design. So the students and I went through, well, what is a female verb? What is the male kind of verb? Very important when you're looking at communication views of men and women. And in the magazine's overall demographics, where did the publisher say that these magazines were sold predominantly? We went through 23,205 pages and 198 magazines. We came up with a total of 7,017 ads identified, with an ad density, as you see here, about 3.5 ads per page. And amazingly, I don't know if any of you have noticed that the newspaper seems to have more ads than news, and I'm wondering whether we're buying advertising or we're buying news, but there is an advertising density overall of about 27, almost 28%. Of those 7,017 ads, we categorize them in a triad of targeted markers, gender targeting categories, age cohorts, types of goods and services being sold, as you see displayed here. Then we also further stratified it into these product categories, male, female, neutral category targets. And a lot of this was, I didn't believe we were going to get numbers that would be statistically significant, but as an exercise it was good, and I would like to continue this kind of work. And then what we found, I don't think it's going to be a surprise to anybody in this audience, nor to my good colleagues on the panel, is that 52.9% of the 7,000 ads in these 198 magazines were targeted to women and girls, 20% to boys and men overtly. And then we had this other category, the neutral category. Now, people read these ads, so they have an impression, and they make an impression on you. This raw statistics of how it plays out looks something like this on a very simple bar graph. I'm not a computer, very good at this computer stuff, but this is basically how it looks on a graph. But then when you do take into account the fact that these gender-neutral ads probably have an impression on the overall readership and audience that leaves an overall impression of what health material should be purchased by boys and what health material or foodstuff should be purchased by girls, you come up with this astounding figure of 67% of the advertising has an impact, an image impact on women and girls, only 25%. On boys and men, and then truly about 7% of the advertising is gender neutral. That's an astounding impact on what boys, particularly in the ages of 15 to 22, young men, will look at and get a message, well, I shouldn't be thinking about buying healthy products or take care of my health. That's just not something I do. As was pointed out before, that's what mom does. And this is what the pie graph looks like, an astounding percentage of targeting. We did take a stab at trying to stratify some of the other categories by age, product categories. We couldn't really come up with an awful lot of statistics, but we did do it, and hopefully if we get a little bit of funding, we can do some more advertised studying. But I think the overall take-home message is pretty clear from this very, very simplistic study that the net effect of all of this perpetuates and reinforces the anti-health sociocultural predilections of boys and men against self-involvement in their own health. And that's really important. There's a predilection to boys to not become involved in their health, and the advertising, the way of the advertising, the messaging of the advertising reinforces that, not just on Saturday, but throughout a lifetime. So, future research questions, I think there's plenty of them. There's plenty of opportunity. Let's see if there's some people who'd like to step up and help do those kinds of work. And I find it intriguing. My students also say, you know, Dr. G, we should be really looking at the percentage of unhealthy advertising to women and girls versus men and boys. I'd love to look at that over a continuum of time. Was it different in the 1960s and 50s when the body image for women was evolving and changing, and the advertising complexion for women was changing, and then they became focused on health and healthy behaviors and health purchases and engagement in their own health? Did that shift and change as well? So I think that would be a wonderful study to do, and I urge someone who likes to be an academician, I'm a reformed academician, to do that kind of work. So, call to action. I would just love Armin's notation about we support moms and dads. We support healthy advertising to boys and young and men, as well as health advertising that promotes responsible behaviors to picking products and engaging in your own health as a total commercial enterprise. So a little social activism. Thanks.